Robots Gotten Todd, March 12th, 2025. Coming at you from Studio SLC. And it's just me. Yet another Scott Speaks. We really tried this time, guys. We really did. I even asked Todd ahead of time, should I take my mic on this trip? Because Todd's also on a trip. Todd's in Palm Springs, California. For work, some bullshit, I don't know. And he was like, yeah, sure. Let's do it. We'll make it happen. For the first time ever, he had an opportunity to make me stay up later because he's actually an hour behind me as opposed to being 2 hours ahead. Did that lead to him having the ability, want, desire to record? No. For some reason, according to him, he does not feel well. So I said, all right, fine. I'll record something on my own. Now, again, it's March 12th as I'm talking into this microphone in this hotel room. It's possible the wife and I will do an episode of The Other Half. And so you may not get this for a couple weeks. I just don't know. We'll have to wait and find out. But yet again, Todd is shirking his responsibilities here on the BroPod Network, and you will not hear him. So just another Scott Speaks episode. Some of you are like, is this what the BroPod channel is now? Just you talking, Scott? Well, for the time being, until Todd starts showing up for work. But I do have a couple things to talk about, a bit of a grab bag this evening. I have three topics, none of them related to the other, like, at all. And I'll do them in the order that I wrote them down on this little sheet of paper here at the lovely Fairfield Inn and Suites by Marriott, Draper, Utah. Check it out. It actually is a fine hotel. I've talked about it many times, but this place is fine. Clean, doors lock, free breakfast. Like, what more do you need, really? Truly. What more do you need? First topic tonight, I believe, Virginia 2A girls indoor track meet is getting some pub over the weekend. There was a girl in the only run indoors event, the 4x200, not to be confused with the very popular 4x400 or mile relay, as it's sometimes called, which often ends track meets. In fact, almost always should be the final event run in any high school track meet, at least. And it was in the Olympics as well. Very exciting event. But indoors, because indoor tracks are typically 200, sometimes 300, sometimes 150 meters, but most are 200, they will run the 4x200, which is just a relay event where you have four participants for a given team, club, squad, what have you, and they each run a lap. Pretty straightforward. They were running this event, and on the second leg, so after the first leg, again, everyone stays in their lanes, typically six lanes, hand off to your teammate, and then that teammate runs the curve, and then you fall down to lane one. You break, waterfall, down to lane one. And by the time these young women, high school age women, turn the corner, there was a girl who was in the lead. Her team was in the lead, she representing her team. And the second place girl, for whatever reason, was not happy about this. And they were close, but certainly I don't think the girl in the lead did anything wrong. And the girl in second place took her baton, turned it into a weapon, and hit the girl in first place in the back of the head with her baton, causing the girl in first place to understandably react, go down to the inside of lane one, and eventually step off the track holding her head. She was later found, I believe, to have a concussion. That's my understanding. The girl in second place who had committed this assault, an act of violence, and I will say nothing other than that. It's plain to see that's what it was. Also, for some reason, I believe, dropped out, or at least fell way behind, and the other competitors passed her, and again, the victim of the assault, her team was, did not complete the race because that runner, the second of four, had gone down in a heap on the inside of the track. It was the final, so I honestly don't know what happened. I didn't hear the aftermath of like what the judge ruling was. I mean, you can't, if it's a qualifying round, what will often happen is that team or that individual will just make it through to the next round automatically, because the coach will protest and you'll be allowed to continue on. But again, I've never seen anything like this where the girl was literally assaulted. So I don't know how they handle that. You can't, when it's a final like that, and again, I'm pretty sure it was a final, you can't just like give them a medal, even though they were in first place. I mean, it was the second leg. Anything could have happened had this incident not occurred. So I really don't know what the action was by the officials of that meet. I should probably have done a little research, but I saw this a few days ago and it just popped up in my YouTube feed, a short of it, kind of watching it again. So I apologize. I got up very early this morning, so I'm very tired. I've been up for like 20 straight hours, but maybe more. But arguably the most interesting thing about this story is the next day, or maybe it was after the meet, they interviewed the girl, the criminal, well, I'll call it what it is, the criminal who had assaulted a competitor. They interviewed her, it must have been next day because she was like cleaned up. She was wearing her tracksuit representing her school, which I'm sure the school loved. But anyway, she was claiming that there were two victims here. There was the girl who she assaulted criminally. And then there was this girl who said, what about the mental anguish that I'm going through? Look, I'm not going to liken what happened to any sort of truly violent crime, although I think this was assault, which I guess qualifies. But, you know, But I may as well say it like this. It's like someone going up to a woman on the street and hitting her in the face and taking her purse and running away, getting caught by the cops and saying, what about how I feel about this? I had to hit this woman. I had to steal her purse and then run away. Why should we fucking care about your thoughts? And I feel the same way about this girl. Now, it's not as clear-cut as literally going up and stealing an old lady's purse or someone's purse, but I've watched multiple replays of this. I've only seen really one video that shows the angle, but I've seen it in regular speed. I've seen it in slow motion. It, to me, is extremely clear that this girl was upset that she was losing. And, you know, people run in different styles, and she was kind of swinging her arms, and she thought, I can get away with this. I'm going to swing my arms in this crazy fashion and hit this girl and make it seem like an accident. To the point where when the victim of this crime went down in lane one, the girl who had perpetrated the crime even kind of like put her hand out like, oh, are you okay? That sort of a thing. Utter bullshit. There was one victim in this case, and it was the girl who had worked her way to the lead with the help of her teammate who ran the first leg. And I am appalled that this other girl, the criminal, thinks that she can come out and cry, not even cry foul, but claim to be some sort of victim and get sympathy. Fuck off. Get out of here with that bullshit. Now, It's high school girls 4x200. Who fucking cares at the end of the day? But it really angers me that she's trying to turn the tables on her situation and claim that she's somehow a secondary victim here. It's just ridiculous. So if you've not seen it, look it up. It's all over the internet. As some of the comments on some of the videos or one of the videos that I saw said, you know, it's a sport like track and field. Same thing with swimming, same thing with gymnastics. Usually only gets national spotlight every 4 years during the Olympics. They say all publicity is good publicity. I'm not sure if this is the good, or if this is the kind of publicity that they were hoping for. It's certainly not what they were hoping for or looking for, but I don't know that all news is good news in this exact scenario. So, but check it out. It's heinous. It's ridiculous. And if you can find the interview with the girl, you know, later that day or the next day, whatever it is, and you want to really find somebody to hate, check it out, because it's out there, and it's something you can see. So anyway, moving on. Second thing, again, completely unrelated, but tonight, it's something I've been thinking about doing for several days, if not several weeks, but tonight I thought to myself, you know what, I've been thinking about this for a while, as I just said. I'm in the hotel. I got my personal computer. I'm going to log in to my personal brokerage account. I use Fidelity. Shout out Fidelity. And I'm going to invest in an S&P fund, maybe some sort of growth fund. You know, the market has been down a lot the past couple weeks. A lot of people say, woe is me. What's happening? I see it as an opportunity. This is a buy opportunity. I'm going to jump in while prices are low, right? And so I had dinner with a coworker tonight, and we kind of talked about it. And I said, I literally said during dinner, I'm going to do that. I'm going to log into my Fidelity, and I'm going to invest some money that I have sitting on the sidelines just in a cash reserve account. So I did. Logged in. I had about a little over $5,000 that was available. I'm going to put it in SPY, an S&P 500 index fund. I logged in, and again, I know the market's been down. I try not to look at my Fidelity account all that often, but I think I mentioned this on either a Scott Speaks or maybe even a BroPod episode, or maybe I didn't. But if I didn't, or if I did, I'm repeating myself. If I didn't, I'll just say that recently my account had hit a pretty substantial balance that I was kind of proud of, and I assumed, based on what's happening in the market, that I was now back under that number again. And sure enough, I went and looked, and I was way under that number, like by a pretty shocking amount. And I was like, damn, I know I took a hit, but my God. And so I was like, let me look into this a little further. And so I looked at a chart, kind of a daily chart of to see when this had happened. And according to the chart, on February 28th specifically, my account had dropped by over six figures in one day. Now, I know there have been days recently where the Dow was down by 1,000. You know, S&P, and again, main reason I went and put in an order, a market purchase tonight. But anyway, you know, those indices had dropped by 1.5%, 2%, 3%. A couple days over the past couple weeks that had happened. The various indices, the NASDAQ, the Dow, and the S&P 500. But I don't have that much money in there to lose $100,000 just because an index is down by 1.5%, 2%. Doesn't make sense. Didn't compute for me. So I'm looking further, and I'm like, oh, man, I looked at my individual account, okay. Looked at my Roth, all right, my traditional. And then another, so I have four sub-accounts in there. One of them was from my old job, not the job I left 7 months ago, but the job I left 10 and a half years ago, still have the 401k in that name, in there. And I looked at it, and the balance was $0. I was like, that can't be right. That's unsettling. And so I looked at transactions that had occurred in that account. And sure enough, there were withdrawals, or I guess they were listed as adjustments. I don't remember exactly what terminology was used, but all on February 28th, adjustment of like $112,000, $30,000, $10,000. What? Huh? What happened here now? So I kind of panicked, and I found the one of the contact numbers on the Fidelity website, and I called up, and I said, yeah, I'm calling about potential theft is what I said. I should have said potential fraud, I guess, but I said potential theft. And, you know, it was 9 o'clock, maybe later here locally. So I wasn't necessarily expecting to get contacted with an actual human, but I did. And the first guy was unable to answer that question. He's like, let me get you in touch with the 401k department. Okay, no problem. So they transferred me. And I spoke to a woman. I re-explained what I had seen, what happened. She goes, oh, you're just going through a deconversion. I was like, what? She said, yeah, you're going through a deconversion. Your former employer has opted to change who they use for the 401k, their 401k program. And I said, oh. I was like, so they can just make those adjustments to my balance? She was like, well, yeah, they have to clear out all the requisite funds, including yours. I said, okay, so should I expect a check? Like, what's happening here? She goes, well, I can't really tell because I don't know where that money went. But, and she said the people that could really answer that question. So she's a 401k department. Apparently there's another department that works with 401ks that are no longer with Fidelity, I suppose. She's like, you can call back in the morning between 8:30 a.m., 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So if I get up early enough here, you know, get up at 6:30. Call at 6:45, something like that. We'll see if that happens. I don't know. They'll be able to answer your question. I said, oh, okay. I can do that. I will do that. But I got to tell you, when I first logged in and saw a balance that was an overall total balance in my Fidelity account that was 20-25% lower than what I thought it should be and lower than when I last looked at it, I was like, God damn. Again, I know the market's been rough, but this is crazy. I did not think I could lose that much wealth that quickly. So I'm relieved to see or to hear what it is. And of course, she reiterated multiple times, you know, you're protected. You're always protected, sir, as a Fidelity customer. And I know that's true. There's FDIC insurance and whatever, fraud insurance, where they could figure that out if something had actually happened that was nefarious, which I now feel very confident was not the case. But man, that was shocking. That was a shocking thing to see. So if you've never been through that, I guess my advice to you, and by the way, I'm not stupid. I've thought multiple times, and I even looked into at one point converting it away from my former employer and just kind of turning it into money market or whatever. But I just never did it. I never really had to. And it just got to a point where it was just another name of a sub-account for me in Fidelity. And so it deprioritized itself in my eyes. So anyway, so that was a bit of a shock, but a learning experience. Now I know. And no matter how I get these funds, whether I have to go access them, you know, the principal or wherever it moved to, I have no idea, and move them back or whatever I have to do is fine. I'd rather not have them floating around with different brokerage houses. I already have one at just my most recent job that I left a few months back with, I think, Lincoln Financial. And it's not a substantial amount of money, but it's getting up there towards six figures, I guess. So I don't like the fact that they're kind of all over the place because, God forbid something happens to me, my wife will definitely not have any clue how to access any of that shit. And so I'd rather, you know, Sounds silly to say that, but I would rather have them all with something like Fidelity. So at the very least, I can, and it's something I've been meaning to do for a long time, you know, put together some instructions in case I get hit by a bus tomorrow, sort of a thing. But put together instructions so that my wife can, you know, access all the savings that I have and, you know, spend half of it within 4 days. And hopefully give 10% of it to our daughter, ultimately, for college and life expenses. Just kidding. Love you. Anyway, so yeah, deconversion. If that's ever happened to you, it's called deconversion. Be on the lookout. Don't panic. But definitely call to make sure that's what it is. Because again, it was like 6 or 7 separate transactions that could legit have been someone that just logged in and was like, all right, I'm going to sell this, get rid of it, move it offshore, and never see it again. So, it was definitely a moment of terror there. But it's all behind me now. So that's my Valley situation. Oh, and then the last thing, another conversation that I was having at dinner with my coworker tonight was about cars, specifically the Tesla. Now, unfortunately for that car, which I do think is a very impressive car, it's been inexorably linked to Elon Musk, who was the CEO and founder of the Tesla company. And he's now a very polarizing figure because of his political involvement currently. But that aside, the dude makes a good car. And that's kind of hard to argue. And so this morning, when I landed in Salt Lake City, my Uber from the airport to my office was a Tesla 3, which I think is one of the original models. You know, not super impressive, nothing crazy about it, but just a very slick car, very smooth car, smooth drive, incredible acceleration. Not that I really saw too much of that because it's, you know, 95% highway miles from the airport down to my office here south of Salt Lake, but definitely had a few opportunities just to feel the pickup and, you know, a bunch of cool features on that gigantic 17-inch sideways iPad that is the front part of the Tesla. But yeah, just a very cool ride. And found out today that one of my peers at the company, one of the fellow VPs there, is a Tesla owner. And just in chatting with him, he said, I can actually read exactly what he said because I have my work computer open here next to me. Something that kind of threw me. I was like, oh, I didn't know that you could do that. But he said, let's see. Because I almost always, I think twice now, I've actually rented a car, but I almost always take Ubers when I come out for this trip. And it said, if you ever need to do something during the day, you can take my car. I can send you a text and you can drive it. So I don't know if this is a standard feature, like on all Teslas, or if this is just certain models or how this works, but he revealed to me that he has a Tesla 3, which again, I think is exactly what picked me up today. But I guess by way of just texting you a code, I can not only access the car, but I can start it and drive it, which is crazy to me. First of all, very gracious of him. Shout out to him for even putting that out in the ethos that he would allow me to do that. It's very trusting of him. I mean, I guess I'd let him borrow my car too if I stop and think about it, but just to say, yeah, just whenever you need it, just let me know. You can borrow my car. Is a little nutty to me, but yeah, that's a wild technology that I did not know existed, as I'm assuming a standard feature on the Tesla. But I say all this to say, I drive a 2005 Nissan Maxima. My car's 20 years old. It drives fine. It gets me from A to B. And it has a bunch of features that I like. For example, it has a tape deck, which I think is awesome. Some people think it's crazy, but I think it's awesome. But at some point, probably in the next 3 to 4 years, maybe sooner, maybe later, I don't know, I'm going to need a new car. That doesn't mean I need a brand new car. I just need a different car to me. A new car to me. And I've had many opportunities to ride in Teslas several times during these Uber trips from the airport to the airport, what have you. But I feel like Tesla's in the running. The only issue I think I have with it is the electric, the battery-powered aspect of it. I just sometimes like to take longer trips. And I know there's Tesla stations all over the place. There's more and more every day. I get it. At least I think that's the case. They may be downsizing. I don't know. But I just find it really difficult to think about the logistics of, let's say I wanted to take a long road trip. And the wife and I have talked about this. And we've taken long road trips before. But let's say I wanted to take one to Yellowstone. We're talking about going to Yellowstone this summer for a long weekend sort of a thing. Take the kid and the dog. That'd be the best trip. That'd be ideal. You know, would a Tesla make it from where we live, the Denver area, all the way up to Yellowstone? I think it's like a 7 or 8 hour drive. I mean, I'll say this. I know I can say with almost 100% certainty it would not make it all the way. We would have to stop at some point. But particularly when we're talking about those sorts of areas, those sorts of parts of the country, I can only imagine that charging stations are not that prevalent. And again, I don't know how quickly those supercharged stations, I could probably look it up pretty easily, but I don't know how quickly they actually charge. Is it fast enough to where it's like, all right, let's take a break for 30 minutes at the gas station and we'll get a quote-unquote half tank or even a full tank? I don't know. I don't know if that's a thing. If it is, then I stand corrected. You know, color me dumb on that one. But I don't know that that's the case. And if it isn't, then it's just one more thing to worry about. I mean, taking road trips of that length are scary enough as it is, just the safety of the whole family and the logistics of it all. But to add on top of that, the worry and concern of your car running out of battery. I mean, it's, you know, we've all run out of gas before. I just did it in Tahoe last week. I ran out of gas. That was not fun. That was not easy to fix. Is that something I need to worry about with a Tesla? But again, I think one thing that's intriguing about them, and I think this is a price, what I'm about to say is something that you can do with new Teslas. But I think you can get them pretty cheap. Okay, it is used. I'm looking now at some Teslas. 2021. Okay, yeah, 2021 looks to be, even 2020s or whatever, but 25, 30 grand nowadays, unfortunately, it's kind of an average price for a car. I mean, I hate to say that, but so yeah, I mean, I don't like the idea of dropping 25, 30 grand, but you know, I get an annual bonus if I saved up a little and then threw on top of that my annual bonus. I could probably outright buy a car or at least pay 75, 80% of it. And so that might be what happens. But anyway, the point is Tesla's now on the short list, I think, of cars that I would get. I very much like my Nissans that I've had. My Maxima that I currently drive is very nice. And the Altima that I had before that bitch rear-ended me, that drunk bitch rear-ended me, I like that car a lot too and totaled it. So again, I wouldn't be against that, but I'd at least have some thinking to do. I think either Tesla or Nissan Altima, probably Maxima. I'm kind of stuck with the Maximas at this point. So either the Maxima, a newer one, of course, something from maybe the 2020s by the time I actually decide to plunk down and buy a new car to me. So anyway, if you have any suggestions, let me know. TheBroPodNetwork@gmail.com, TheBroPodNetwork@gmail.com. Slide into our DMs, the_bro_pod. That's on Instagram or X. And of course, you can check out the website, BroPodNetwork.com. BroPodNetwork.com is the website where you can listen to all these shows. But yeah, let me know if you have any thoughts on any of these topics. Obviously, the track and field thing. If you've ever had a 401k from a former employer deconverted, and then perhaps most importantly, because it has the biggest implication on decisions I have to make in the not too distant future, is thoughts on cars, what kind of car to get. Again, almost 99% sure I would only consider a used car, but who knows? You know, I'm open to whatever. You never know what can happen. So anyway, let me know. Hit me up. And yeah, next week, hopefully, again, there may be an episode of The Other Half. We'll just have to wait and see how everything plays out. But I will be my normal schedule back here in Salt Lake, I think Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. Is it Tuesday, Wednesday next week or the week after? Yeah, maybe I'm wrong. I think next week is Wednesday, Thursday. You guys don't care. But yeah, next week is Wednesday, Thursday again. But yeah, I think Todd will not be traveling. So should be able to have a regular show, but time will tell. But anyway, I do appreciate you guys listening, keeping it locked. Again, share, spread the word, tell a friend, like, subscribe, comment, all the things, thumbs up. Is that a thing in Spotify? I don't even know. Wherever you're listening, wherever you get fine podcasts, because this is a fine podcast. I think that's the one thing we can all agree on. So anyway, I thank you guys for being part of the program and sticking around for the long haul. I really do appreciate it. So, that's it. Until next time and next week, everybody.